It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 321. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you for downloading and subscribing to the show. This is a special edition of the Mike Tech Show today, and I have two guests with me. In a minute, I will get right into the special show, which is about encryption and security and using USB sticks, and we're gonna really geek out today. Just a tremendous topic. But let me introduce my guest. To the right of me, if you're watching on Ustream, is Winston Wolf, who has participated in a lot of shows and has been a longtime listener. And welcome, and thanks for coming out.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're very welcome. I am so glad you came out. And now a Philly tech guy who I was able to get out here this morning, and it's been so long. And he is a co-host of the Mind of Root podcast, and Keith Albright, welcome. And
thank you, Mike. It's great to be here.
All right.
So Mike, are we going to make this a Mike Tech show, or are we going to make this a Philly Tech guys with an honorary guest? What's the deal here?
Well, this is a Mike Tech show, I figured, yeah, because you know, we really need Steve to make it an official Philly Tech guys. Yep. You know, and I don't know what's going to happen with Steve moving away. We still can do things remote. You know, you can come over here, and you know, we can patch Steve in and still have some fun.
Then it'll be the East Coast Tech guys.
That's right. East Coast Tech guys. So, but let's take care of business first, and then we can jump right in. You know, I've been using GoToMeeting for over 5 years. They have been a sponsor. And you know why? Because it is the best online meeting service that you can possibly have. You can hold unlimited meetings for one flat rate. It supports voice over IP. There's an incredible tool set to allow you to present your screen on everybody else's desktop. They can see what you're doing, and it is so easy to join. Just one click on the gotomeeting.com, and you can try it free for 30 days. But first, you got to go to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial. To kick things off, I am going to turn over the first discussion. Winston has brought to my attention some incredible products, and he has brought examples with him, and I want you to talk about the USB key and talk about what it is about, what's it used for, you know, how much is it, how do you go about, and waiting to hear this. You are going to love this product. Take it away, Winston.
So are we going to start with a YubiKey then?
Yeah, yeah.
For the people in the chat, I don't know if you're going to be able to see it on the video cam, but a YubiKey is a USB key that all it does is really act as a keyboard. The cool thing about it is that you can program this thing to have either a static password or a dynamic password. And it has two slots on it, so you can either hold one static and one dynamic, or two statics or two dynamics. And I have to say, this thing is slick because
it's so thin.
Yeah, and it doesn't have the standard USB cage, so all it has is the connectors and a touchpad. It's not even a button per se. It's not a mechanical button. It's an electrostatic discharge. So when you touch it for longer than a half a second, it dislodges position number one, and when you touch it for longer than 3.5 seconds, it dislodges position number two.
So help everybody, what's it really for? Why would you buy this?
Well, the reason I bought this is because I use TrueCrypt on my system, and I use KeePass to store my passwords. So I needed a way of storing a very nice, strong, secure password that essentially impossible to break. So with something like this, you can generate a 64-character static password in either position, and without it, you're not getting in. So if someone steals your laptop or if someone manages to get a hold of your KeePass database or something of the like, guess what? Without this phenomenally strong password, forget it. And brute forcing something like that is going to be ridiculously hard and long. So if you have the years and the resources to brute force this, then good luck to you, because you have more time and desire than I do. But
so I'm confused. So what? So I use this in addition to TrueCrypt, or
yes, you use this as the password that you supply to TrueCrypt.
I gotcha.
In the static mode, what I did is I set up a 64-character password. And now, when TrueCrypt boots up and says, hey, give me your password, I plug my YubiKey in, I hit the button, and, you know, this nasty, long stream of characters comes out, and TrueCrypt starts. My TrueCrypt encrypted USB drives are the same way.
Now, so, can I use this to... Okay, so TrueCrypt, can I use this to authenticate onto a domain?
Yes, you can. That's the other part with the dynamic pass. Well, you can use it to authenticate onto a domain with either dynamic or static mode, okay? So if you use it a static mode, then obviously you have to set your password statically to whatever the YubiKey is set to. If you use it in dynamic mode, there is software that you can use to coordinate with your Active Directory server that then, instead of using a password, you just use the YubiKey.
So I could walk up to a desktop, plug this in, touch it, and authenticate me onto the domain.
You would type in your username, touch it, you're authenticated, you're on, and now that password changes every time you touch it. It's completely randomly generated with every touch. The first 12 characters are static because that's the key ID, but the 32 characters that follow in dynamic mode change with every touch. So needless to say that this is phenomenally secure. You know, obviously there's some expense to getting the software for AD authentication, etc., but let me tell you, for what it costs, it's really not bad at all, and the security that you get out of it is phenomenal.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, it gives you basically the same type of two-factor authentication like that the RSA encryption tokens give you, because it's a rotating password, and the two factors are knowing the username and having the possession of that key to generate the password.
Well, I think it's better, because the RSA password is limited to something like, what, 8 characters or 12 characters,
right,
depending
on what
fob you use. And this thing has a 44-character password. The first 12 characters, again, are always static. They are the key ID. But there's 32 characters that are randomly generated every time you touch. So what I'll do is I'll plug it into my laptop and put it on the chat, and I'll throw a stream of the randomly generated passwords that it does, but you're going to see this thing is pretty stinking cool.
It is. And you know what? Winston actually arranged with the manufacturer, and I have to take a look at this, but I think I'm going to be able to put a link and offer a discount to purchase these if you want to check it out.
Well,
so
that came about. You see that I have two in my keyring there. The chat will be, the live Ustream chat will be able to see that.
You have
a white one and a black one.
One.
The white one is my permanent one that I use every day. The black one is, there was some issues with the next generation, and they're trying to work them out. And Jacob at Yubico said, hey, you know, if you're interested in helping us work these things out, I'll send you a key and beat it up, put it through its paces, and tell us what is wrong and what is right, and help us out. If you go to the Yubico forums for YubiKey, you're going to see that Jacob and I had a nasty discussion going on because of some issues that were, you know, it's mainly their documentation. When you read their documentation on their website, you're led to believe one thing, and what the key does is not exactly what the documentation says, and I had a real bone to pick with that, but for what I'm using it, it is perfect. So what happened is that since this is not exactly released yet, the black one, I can't show the capabilities of the black one, but there are some things that are coming up on the new version that are really, really cool. My older one, that's the 2.1 version, is what I use every day. So obviously it is strong, fantastically strong, but the black one is going to be, it's going to have some extra capacity that isn't available in the current version. I think they're releasing it sometime next month. That plus when I sent Jacob an email saying, hey, I'm going to be at the Mike Tech Show, we're going to be doing this, that, and the other, apparently he forwarded the information to Stina, and Stina is one of the founders, and she said, well, if the audience wants to partake, you know, here's a discount code, and you can have a discounted version of the a discounted price on the key.
Right, and they also offered to be an affiliate for this, for the Mike Tech Show. So I'm gonna put a link on the left hand side of the website with YubiKey, and also a link in the show notes for this. And you should really check out the website. We're throwing a lot of detailed information here about this, and to really absorb it, you want to go to the website and start reading about what this key does and all of the possible functionality. And today, with identity theft and security is so important, that's why we're talking about this. And later on in the show, I'm going to talk about a product that I recommend for clients, and I have a couple clients using it, and it's called IronKey. And Keith is going to talk about TrueCrypt, which is free. And we've mentioned this in the past, and he's going to break it down and talk about how to get that installed. What is another common practice? Let's say I'm not in an office environment, and why would I, as an individual, you know, single user of my computer, why would I want a YubiKey?
Well, with it being able to do two slots, you can do two things. First of all, you want to encrypt your hard drive with TrueCrypt, and you want a nice, strong password for that, right?
Okay.
So there's your first option. And then your second one is you can install the dynamic authentication aspect of it onto your laptop, and now your password is your dynamic password. So first of all, if someone steals your laptop, good luck getting through the YubiKey TrueCrypt combination. And should they get through the YubiKey TrueCrypt combination, now they got to get through a dynamically generated password.
And this is important because
it's not going to happen, you know?
And this is where identity theft is really happening, that we turn on the news and we see that a laptop was stolen with thousands and thousands of credit card informations or information. Just happened at, Jefferson Hospital in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
They lost... Could you imagine all of your medical information from a particular period of time? It was compromised and lost because an employee had all this information because they were doing some work. It was on their notebook, and the notebook was stolen.
Yep.
And all of that medical information is now out in the wild.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, and that happened literally a month ago in Philadelphia. So this is a common problem where notebooks are stolen or taken or lost, or maybe you leave it behind, and you want to really consider locking it down. And a way to do it is to use what Keith's going to go over with the TrueCrypt, but then getting that strong password, that password that is just, it's not going to happen. No one is going to break this password. That's it. You got to have the key. In order, and
it's a phenomenal way of doing brute force, and
or you work for a three-letter agency.
Yeah,
the thing is, this has the capacity, given the character length of 64 on the static side, and the amount of characters that are available to the password, you could theoretically go up to 256-bit of password strength. Right. Even a three-letter agency, it's going to have a hard time with that.
Yep. Yes.
I mean, brute forcing that is going to take some time. And let me tell you, if the three-letter agency wants your stuff, guess what? They already have it.
Yeah, that's right.
but when we get to TrueCrypt, we'll talk about some of the ways that TrueCrypt makes it even more impossible to brute force.
Well, you know what? This is perfect. This is a great segue. Keith, take us through TrueCrypt and what it's about, because we talk about it so much and we throw it out there, but we never get down into the nitty-gritty here.
Okay, so TrueCrypt is, at its very core, it's a disk encryption software. And when I say disk encryption, that means any type of physical or virtual volume. So in its first iterations, what TrueCrypt allowed you to do was basically create a large blob file, and that was a virtual encrypted disk. What you would do is, using the TrueCrypt software, you would mount that file with the appropriate authentication, and it would mount it as another drive on your computer, like a network drive. But it was really reading that image, that virtual file system, off your disk. The entire file was completely encrypted using whatever encryption algorithm you choose when you set it up. The newer iterations of it allow you to go further and encrypt, you know, full physical volume, full physical partitions, including your boot partition, so that you need a pre-boot authentication password in order to begin the decryption process and allow the operating system to boot. They've added a lot of additional features that basically are for your protection in a sense of the landscape of security has changed when it comes to protecting your data. You now have those three-letter agencies and other government entities and other entities that are forever trying to, you know, dig further into your information. One of the features I thought was the most cool that they added was, call it a decoy, but what it does is it sets up an aspect of plausible deniability. So when you create your encrypted disk, you can choose to create a second encrypted disk. So there's a second password. Password A opens one of the encrypted volumes. Password B opens the second encrypted volume. That means that if you're forced to give up a password, you give up password A, they open it up, it decrypts the disk, and there's nothing in there but pictures of your puppy. Okay. Password B opens up the true encrypted volume that has all your financial information and, you know,
I love that
information.
So
yes.
So let's get to some details. When if I download TrueCrypt and I go to install it, I tell it to I want to encrypt the whole volume of the hard drive.
Right.
And then does it ask me for a password when I'm starting it, or?
Yes. Well, you're going to have to, at that time, you're going to set up your password. You're going to choose the encryption algorithm that you want to use. And going back to where we were talking about making it difficult to brute force, when you choose your encryption algorithm, AES, Serpent, Two-Fish, or even a cascading version, so layering AES and Two-Fish, so you can kind of daisy chain them, it does not store what type of encryption algorithm that the file or file system is encrypted with.
Okay.
Meaning that if you wanted to brute force attack that, you have to know what encryption algorithm is in use. Otherwise, you have to brute force against every single one.
Okay.
The way TrueCrypt opens your volume is you supply it with the key or the password. It then tries each individual one until the one works, and then it opens your volume.
So when it's done encrypting the whole hard drive, and then I shut down,
right.
When I turn on my computer, I have it where I enter a password, a Windows password. Is that all I have to do, or now am I going to be prompted with another password?
You'll be prompted before Windows even starts, because the operating system and everything is actually encrypted.
Okay.
You'll be prompted with a pre-boot password, kind of like, you know, the hard drive passwords that always cause so many problems when you went
there. Yes.
So it provides you with that, and then you can process booting up the operating system, and then, as Winston said, you have the second layer of authentication at the actual operating system level, where the YubiKey would allow you to have a rotating, a dynamic password. So even if you cracked it and decrypted the drive, fine. You still can't get past the actual Windows authentication.
Well, what I'm hearing is I could actually, in order to even get into the TrueCrypt, I could have the YubiKey.
Yes.
Yes.
And I couldn't even get into the TrueCrypt and unencrypt the hard drive to be able to get in.
Absolutely.
And I can tie it with the YubiKey. So a YubiKey and TrueCrypt, we're talking the ultimate encryption.
You got a killer solution. And, you know, another thing is when you install TrueCrypt and you do the whole volume disk encryption, part of what it does is it tests it for you. And if it doesn't pass the test, it will not encrypt your volume. So you have to provide it a password. You have to provide the same password again. It'll say, hey, we need the test, and the test requires a reboot. If it reboots and you type in the right password and gets back to Windows, then it says, now I'm ready to encrypt. Are you sure you want to do this? And yes. And
Now, got a safety factor built in.
Tough question here, and this is where I'm going to really get. I'm pretending I'm in the chat, and I'm raising my hand here. What if I have a problem with the Windows operating system, and I have TrueCrypt installed? I load TrueCrypt, like TrueCrypt comes up because I start the system. So when I turn the system on, a TrueCrypt password authentication comes up. Correct.
Yep.
What if I want to boot from a CD? But work on the encrypted volume. Well, so I wanna boot from a BART PE CD. Is there a way that TrueCrypt will allow me to authenticate within TrueCrypt, but let pass the boot to the CD?
Yes.
Yeah.
How?
When you boot up, one of the options is it gives you press, I think, F10 to go into the boot partition manager. And once you do that, you can boot off the CD, and it'll say, do you want to pass this encrypted volume along? And if so, you have to type in the password. If not, you're going to see a volume that's dead.
Okay. All right.
So,
It does pass through and allow booting from other... Okay.
An alternative is TrueCrypt can run as a portable app, standalones. In fact, when you go through the install process, it says, do you just want to extract the files or do you want to completely install it on the system? When you extract the files, you can just run the executable, and Winston can verify if I'm incorrect. If you boot the BART PE, launch the TrueCrypt standalone executable, you should be able to
You can then mount it as
and
well.
Decrypt that disk.
Yeah.
So you still have all the options available to you to boot to an offline operating system and still access that disk.
With TrueCrypt, one of the things I want to ask, what if I don't want to encrypt the entire hard drive, but I have a folder that has real important information, and you know what? I don't want to go through encrypting the whole hard drive. I really only care about this one directory, this one folder. Yep. Can TrueCrypt help me there?
Well, it doesn't encrypt just a folder so that when you get to that folder, it requires a password. At least I'm not familiar with that function of it. Yeah, it's more you create a file that, you know, you mount as a virtual hard drive. So if you had a folder that you wanted to encrypt, then that's a candidate to be moved into that virtual file system, into that encrypted virtual file system. And in order to get access to that, you would simply launch TrueCrypt, point to the file, give it the authentication, and then it would open it and mount. You could choose the drive letter and mount it as a drive letter and then access that file folder structure.
And in the new version of TrueCrypt also, you can say, I want these volumes auto-mounted every time, and it'll prompt you for a password.
Prompt for the password, yeah.
So
they didn't even have it where you could include the password, and everybody questioned why.
Why would you do that?
Why would you
do that? It's just kind of pointless.
It is.
And something two words of caution. Number one, when the system has the file open and it's unencrypted, it's unencrypted. That means that somebody can go over and drag and drop it to a USB key. So keep that in mind. The physical access to the PC when the TrueCrypt volume is open, it's open. It's open to whoever is at the keyboard there.
Right.
The second thing is, and I've seen this happen, is people are really great about moving those confidential files, business files or whatever, into their TrueCrypt volume, and then they leave a copy of it unencrypted still sitting on the disk. So what is the point of securing it behind TrueCrypt if you're going to leave a digital artifact of that laying somewhere? So make sure that if it's that secret, if that's what you want to keep hidden, then make sure you have all copies of it secured somewhere.
Now, do you have any experience? I'm going to throw you through a loop here because do you have any experience with BitLocker from Windows 7?
No, and I was going to mention that. I have never used BitLocker. BitLocker, for those who aren't familiar with it, is Microsoft's implementation of whole disk encryption.
And that's included with Windows 7 Ultimate.
Only with Ultimate. So you have to go to Windows 7 Ultimate to get that.
I have one of those here.
A lot of complaints about the fact that Windows 7 Business Edition is an area where a lot of people would like to use it. Why have to go all the way up to Ultimate when business class users might want it? But that's, Microsoft's decision to only include it with Ultimate.
Right, because I actually, with the project that I have coming up with a client, we need encryption on every hard drive. Every hard drive has to be encrypted. And I'm going to have the choice of deploying TrueCrypt or BitLocker. And since they're all going to be Windows 7 Ultimate 64-bit for the workstations, I was thinking, boy, that's kind of easy to just turn on BitLocker.
Well,
it's built in.
The other advantages you get from BitLocker that I don't believe the TrueCrypt provides is that because you're in a domain environment, you can have basically administrative certificates stored so that if IT needs to get into that, it's not just a single key. There's basically a key pair that can decrypt the drive. So it's has its own key embedded, but you can also open it. IT can access the drive if they need to do it. It's a la what we were just talking about with going offline and being able to, troubleshoot and diagnose, that sort of thing.
Right. And I'm actually, what's going to be nice for this project, I'm going to have two test workstations after we upgrade the server. And one of the workstations I was going to make TrueCrypt, the other one I was going to make BitLocker. And as just to see the differences and the employees and the software and everything working, just to let the client, we're going to naturally pick which is the best one as we take a look. At least that's what I'm planning right now. And, you know, because I want to kind of square them off against each other. And we're going to do that with a couple applications and things. That's why we're picking two workstations.
Right.
So we can put all the apps through its paces and how's everything working and how's the encryption and how do we like it before I deploy the rest of the 15 desktops and start the upgrade. So we're going to do the server first. And that's why I think this is a very timely topic. There are new laws that I have talked about in previous podcasts a while ago, state of Massachusetts, state of Nevada, that if you are working with a client that resides, if you have a customer and they reside in one of these states, you have to go through an unbelievable process to be compliant, where everything has to be encrypted. No information can be transferred from one of your systems. What's happening with all these requirements, you now have to obey or you will be fined, and the fines are going to be pretty stiff. So I have a lot of financial advisors that are now have to be compliant with this, with these laws. The alphabet soup of compliance that's out there, HIPAA, Sarbanes-Oxley or SOX, PCI for the credit card industry, if you're taking credit cards, you have to have customer and client information must be encrypted. That's it. It's the law. Or you're not going to be compliant and you're not going to be able to do business. You're not going to be allowed to take a credit card. You're not going to be allowed to do what you're doing. So for your business, so encryption is very, very important. And you, as the listener, may be experiencing this as part of the IT departments that are in charge at the company you're working for, and you're going to be running in to these types of encryptions that's going to be deployed. If you're a small business, or even just your own personal information and your own private data, these tools that we're talking about are very important for you to keep your data safe. And I know there's nobody that I know of greater than what Winston does for security. I do some work for Winston for one of his clients, and his passwords for anything that I got to do, they're unbelievable. And
they're pretty sweet, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's amazing. And just to be able to get, you know, in to log me in or to do, I mean, it is unbelievable what Winston uses for his securing his data, protecting his customers' information and data. And I know, because I got to live it to be able to access it to do work. And that is the way it should be, because you are safeguarding. You are the keeper, the holder of the IT data, possibly. And you got to make sure that you protect it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to segue into... Or is there any more in TrueCrypt that you want to hit before I talk about IMP?
No, that encrypted volume can reside anywhere. So it doesn't have to reside on your hard drive. That file can be on a USB thumb drive or a portable hard disk, or you can encrypt the entire physical USB hard drive or hard disk, or thumb drive. So, you know, the possibilities of, you know, what you have encrypted and where you keep it are pretty much limitless.
As an add-on to that is, when you do whole disk encryption, part of the requirement is that you burn a bootable CD with a recovery path from TrueCrypt. Otherwise, TrueCrypt will not encrypt the drive for you.
Okay.
So if you're doing whole disk encryption, part of it is saying, hey, you have to burn this, and you know this is your ticket out. Because let me tell you, once you encrypt, if you forget that password, you're out of luck. I mean,
oh yeah.
I hope you have a good backup of your data, because if not, you're dead.
I'm worried about that, because I have a client with users that have trouble remembering the network password that they use every day to log in.
Well, that's that's when you give them a YubiKey and you say you don't no longer have to worry about remembering a password. You just make a static password for them, 64 characters, and stick it in and hit the button.
And then just hope they don't have the YubiKey. Now, can I have a cop? Now, this is interesting. Can I have a duplicate YubiKey? Can I have two YubiKeys, where one I keep in a locked drawer, so in case my client loses their YubiKey?
Yes.
And I can have like a copy of it and it's in a safe?
If you're talking about the static password mode, yes. Because during static password mode, you're prompted for an ID, a private information and public information, just like you would for any security certificate. And if instead of letting the system, if instead of letting the software do it for you, you can set it to you statically assign it. If you save those static static information in something like KeePass, which is what I do, you can generate that same static password over and over and over again. So, for example, my live use YubiKey, I have four copies of it, I believe. Susan, correct me here.
Four copies.
So I have four copies of it. I have,
oh, okay. So
I have one that I keep with me, and I generated the same static password, and I gave one to Susan, and I have another one that I generated with the same exact information, and I put in my Fire safe, and I have another one that I generated with the same exact information and gave it to a friend of mine who's also a consultant that, you know, we work together, and worst case scenario, I'm going to have it in one of those locations. Either Susan's going to have it for me, my buddy's going to have it for me, or it's in my Fire safe. One of the four is going to take care of me having it. And then just as another precautionary, I took the text string of that password, printed it out, put it in a sealed envelope, and is sitting at a safety deposit box, so that if all three methods of my recovery are dead, at least I have a safety deposit box somewhere with that string of passwords, which is going to be a royal pain to type in, but it beats the living daylights out of not having it.
Yeah. Okay, so that makes sense. And, I mean, you went to the extreme, and which is great, and I think everybody should hear that. One thing I want to talk about is this. It's so simple, and it's so easy. This is called IronKey, and it's a sort of a pre-built USB key with the encryption already taken care of and built in for you. When you buy this USB key, you stick it in and into your system, and it will automatically come up and ask you for the first time to give it a password, and then you retype it. And once you've typed in that password, that's it. This baby is completely encrypted, and anybody can take this and go do whatever you want. You're not getting in.
Well, there's another aspect of it, and that is the 10 strikes rule. If you type in the password wrong 10 times, it self-erases.
It self-erases.
It's like Mission Impossible.
Awesome. That is awesome. So I have a client that has, you know, that deals with financial information, and one of the rules, you are not allowed to have an external device with any information without it being encrypted. And they didn't want to go through the trouble of installing TrueCrypt or going through all the, you know, the geeky install process of all of this. So I said, there's devices out there right now, the USB keys called an IronKey, that already has this built in, and they love it. This is what they use now for copying data and taking it home. And it's totally encrypted. How many times have you lost a USB stick? I know I have. And God forbid if you have personal information, you have financial data or anything in there that can help someone make it easier to go through and do an identity theft on you. You want to protect yourself. And if you don't want to go through the process of installing TrueCrypt or any kind of other software, IronKey, what's the USB? I'm trying to think of how much, like for 8 gig, I think that was like $100 or something.
I'm on their website right now.
I mean, it's a little more expensive than a USB key that has no encryption, but it is well worth the expense of having this already built in.
The IronKey 8 gig version is $200, so it's not cheap. But man, it is great stuff. I mean, I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I actually thought it was cheaper than that. You know what? I think if you went to Newegg and bought the IronKey, I think you would save some money rather than going right off their site, you know, or go to Amazon. I think I thought it was pretty inexpensive for what it's doing.
A quick question, because I'm curious about this with the I think I already know with the YubiKey, cross platform. Can you plug this into a Mac?
I've never tried to plug it into a Mac.
IronKey will work on a Mac. It sort of works on Linux. It works on Linux okay. It's not as great as it should be, and it obviously works in Windows. The YubiKey doesn't care. The YubiKey is a OS agnostic because it just shows up as a keyboard.
Right. Now, yeah, that's one of the reasons I brought it up. Because and TrueCrypt is cross-platform. So having the TrueCrypt client across Windows, Mac, and Linux, and then coupled with the YubiKey and being able to read, you know, FAT file system, you should be, or NTA, yeah, FAT32 file system, you can open your TrueCrypt volume anywhere.
Now, I have a MacBook Pro in front of me, and I just plugged it in, and IronKey has appeared as a CD on the left-hand side.
Oh, there you go, Mac.
And there we go. We got Mac. We got, do you have anything on here?
Yeah, but you haven't typed in a password, so it's not going to show you anything until you type in the proper password for that YubiKey.
Well, where
is... I mean, for that IronKey.
So how do I type it in?
You run the Mac.
So I run the Mac software.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's then, a Mac app, and then it would ask me for the password.
It'll ask
and then
for
it
the
would,
password.
Okay.
Well, another cool thing about the IronKey is that you can set it to read-only mode. So if you know you're going to be working in a system that's infected or something, you put all your tools on the IronKey. You lock it, you go back over to the machine that's infected, you type in your password on it, but before you hit the go button on it, set the bit that says read only, which is just a checkbox in the app. Now you can safely use your IronKey to install something like Malwarebytes or some kind of an AV, scan the system, take care of the problem, and you know that your USB key is not going to be infected with whatever that machine has.
I use the poor man's version of that. I use a camera card reader and an SD card with the switch flipped so that the SD card is unwritable.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. No, I think this is a great idea. And I remember Winston introducing me to IronKey in a post show way back when my client first ran into this requirement, and he says, "Oh, dude, you got to try IronKey," and I was like, "Okay," and I looked it up and went online and did some research, and then went to my client and said, "Hey, look, this is what you want to buy," and they bought two of them. And one of the things that you can't do, you cannot have two IronKeys installed at the same time without getting creative.
Yeah, without getting creative. You know, another thing that the IronKey has that's pretty cool is that it has Firefox installed on it, Firefox Portable. And if you run Firefox out of it, it puts you through a set of Tor routers that IronKey runs themselves.
I didn't realize that.
So if you want a truly secure stealth browsing mode where, you know, you're using somebody else's PC, run it off your IronKey. It gets filtered through their Tor systems. And there's no record of it left behind on the machine that you ran it on.
Wow. That's impressive. That's very impressive. So what we've accomplished today is we talked about how to highly secure your authentication and your password using YubiKey. And you can use that in collaboration with other software, logging into a domain, logging into TrueCrypt. If you want to take the easy way where you want to just a secured USB stick, you got IronKey. If you want to go through whole disk encryption, then you want to use TrueCrypt to encrypt the entire volume of the hard drive, and you got to go through that whole detailed installation process where you're going to make that bootable recovery CD. You're going to be able to go through and the test process to make sure that it's compatible with your system and that it's going to work. What final thoughts do we want to leave everybody with for this show on encryption and, you know, base level security for protecting your data?
Do I need to say it? Backup, backup, backup.
Yeah, I kind of served it up.
This is my personal mantra, backup,
well,
backup,
and
backup.
The thought that occurred to me earlier, because you talked about backups, when I talked about, you know, you have that digital artifact of something before you put it in the encryption, when you back it up, if it's not encrypted there, then it's not
You're
secure.
You're right, and that's why, like, even Shadow Protect, they have encryption built in, and I make sure, that backup's encrypted. So if you go to mount that backup, you are prompted for a password. You can tie that to YubiKey.
You can tie it to your static password and the YubiKey and then really make it gnarly.
And you can get really creative because if you can back up to a disk, you can back up to a TrueCrypt volume.
That's right.
So there's your encryption. Instead of relying on your backup software to back it up and encrypt it, you can just back it up to the mounted volume, and then when that volume is closed, it is now fully encrypted.
That is a great idea. If your backup software does not provide any level of encryption and protection, TrueCrypt the external drive that you are going to back up to. And then this way, it's okay if the software doesn't do any encryption. Yep. And now you've covered your backup. So you have to back up your system. And yes, those backups, don't forget about them, that they should be encrypted because they can fall into the wrong hands. That drive can be taken, or someone can maybe walk up to your computer and take the drive if you're in an office environment, or maybe the server room isn't secured. Someone could just go take that drive. If they have the backup, all they got to do is restore the software and maybe even if it's flat files, they can read the files. So don't forget about that. And that's very important. Anything else here? That was very good.
Well, obviously in addition to backing up your data, if you're using a static password with anything, including the YubiKey, back that up as well in some format. Like I said, I have three copies and then a physical version, etc. But, you know,
I recommend a sticky note on your keyboard.
My password is...
You should put a header.
No, it's secured because they put it under the keyboard.
Under the keyboard. Okay.
But you have to put that header, my password is, and then...
By the way, I walked into a client. Their tower system was on the desk, and this is a new client just a couple weeks ago, and all the passwords on sticky notes for everybody listed right there on the tower. And this was actually a public area to walk past in the office. And there's all the passwords right there for all the systems. And needless to say, they're not there now after two visits. And I've locked everything down because they even had open shares for every single share on their server. Now, this is a Windows 2003 server with no security on the shares.
Now, if you really want to get creative, what you do is you get a bunch of stickies, and you say, you know, you write down on them, password for top secret level files, and you write it down. And then what you do is you look at your event log, and you filter for that, and then you can figure out who's trying to use that password for the top secret level files.
I like that. There's so much that we've only just, did a little slither here of covering encryption and security. But what the purpose is to arm you as you go forth and work with not only your own data, family, friends, clients, want to put you in a position that you can help secure the data and the information, because the more knowledge you have on products and processes like this, you are going to be more valuable. You will make money because you have a way of securing your customer or client's data. And we want to arm you with the right tools so you can go forth and implement that. And you're going to look really good compared to all your competition because you know how to encrypt files, how to encrypt data. As an assignment for this show, you should immediately, when you're done here, this weekend or whenever you hear this, go to TrueCrypt. What's TrueCrypt.org?
Yes.
Yeah, and download TrueCrypt. Take an external USB stick you got laying around or an external drive and play with it. Install it. Work with it. And see how this works. Then hook it back up and put the wrong password in it. See what happens. What's prompted? Get some experience with this. And remember, TrueCrypt is open source. It's free. And you can, learn about it. And now, IronKey, go to the site and learn about it. You don't have to buy it. But be knowledgeable about these type of options and products so you can be informed as you recommend them to lock down and secure data, because this is what's important and it's what's going to separate you from the rest of the crowd when you are armed with this knowledge. Am I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here, here.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're going to wrap up right now and say goodbye, and then we'll hang out for a few minutes in the chat for a little post show. But for right now, go forth, and I want you to play with TrueCrypt and get some experience with it, and then check out the other links that I'm going to have in the show notes. Get some knowledge on these products and these options. And certainly email questions. If you have some follow-up questions about anything that we talked about today, my email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. Don't forget to tune in to Mind of Root, host it. And you're back now? You're going to be every week or
yeah,
every other week?
I'm shooting for every week. Steve and Rich are still kind of battling work issues and that sort of thing. So as of right now, I'm kind of getting some commitments that Thursday nights I'm going to be recording.
Same as Mike Tech Show.
I worked out that I recorded almost at the same time and then popped into your show afterwards while I was editing.
Well, what you guys can do is stagger it. You know, Mike starts at 8, you start at 10. That way when he's finishing his show, you're starting yours.
Yeah, it would be nice, but I'm trying to get an early start so I can get the post-production all done and get it published, and then I don't have to worry
about it. Well, that's what I did last week. I actually, this week on Thursday night, I actually edited my show part of the post show because I needed to get it done because I knew my Friday was all tied up. I knew we were doing this show today, so that was a lot of fun. But yes, the website is
mindofroot.com.
There you go, mindofroot.com. Winston, thank you so much for being out here, and you're going to hear more from Winston down the road as he's going to actually be coming back out for a project that I know is going to generate material for shows, and we'll be talking about that. And that's a large project for one of my clients doing a small business server upgrade, and Winston's going to be back out in a couple weeks. Anything you want to promote? You want to promote your business and website? I'm going to ask you, do you want to do that? And,
well, you know, the thing is the website we have actually sucks. It's there as a placeholder.
But they have contact information.
Yeah, you can go to brainstomp.com, or you can go to twitter.com/brainstomp and see what pointless stuff I post up there from time to time. In deference to Keith, I post about pancakes there on a semi-regular basis to kind of keep his Twitter pancake stream well funded there.
Yep.
go to Brainstomp, and of course, continue to visit miketechshow.com, and please help support the show. On the left-hand side of the website, you got my Amazon.com link, and you have links to Bryce from TechNibble, his computer repair kit, Steve Cherubino's videos. These are great products that you want to take a look at and please purchase, and a portion of that is donated to the Mike Tech Show. But please continue to use the Amazon link. I really appreciate that. It helps me buy more equipment and things to explore and books, and it's just fantastic. So thank you so much. With that is it. Bye-bye. Next week, same time, same channel on Thursday night. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.